It's good to hear the little angels this morning singing. Thank you. You sound great. That first reading of ours in the Old Testament is a wonderful reading. Moses being instructed by God to strike the rock, and what comes out but water right from the rock, because the people were very thirsty. They were on a journey, and so they were thirsty. Well, speaking of journeys, spiritual journeys that are worth their salt have a way of converting us, you know, of really changing us, something we always love to get involved in, right? Conversion and change. It's exciting. This weekend's gospel is a story about a woman's journey that is very much about conversion. Like so many conversions, hers is brought about because of a thirst that she has. It is Jesus who asks for a drink of water, but ironically, it is the woman who was really thirsty. All of us, in a sense, are like this woman at the well. We thirst for love, for mercy, for understanding. We thirst for justice and peace. Our throats are parched by indifference and selfishness, cruelty and greed. We feel ourselves spiritually dry. We thirst for wholeness and for grace, for deep purpose and meaning. And like this woman at the well, all of our searching comes up either empty or just kind of half-satisfying. We always want more after that. The wells of this world, many as they are, fail to quench our thirst, even though they promise to. And then, one day, hopefully, we discover that it is only Christ who can do that. Only Christ who can satisfy our thirst. So where do we find Christ in this living water that he offers us? Water that he says becomes in us a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Well, first and foremost, we find him in his church, here, and in the sacraments, especially the sacrament of his body and blood. But here's the question. As we receive him, like we will shortly today, this morning, how do we experience this water as quenching our thirst and bringing whatever needed conversion in our lives we need? Whenever we receive him spiritually, body, blood, soul, and divinity, there is no doubt that that is the greatest of things, the greatest. But we are not to be satisfied with just that. Jesus wants us to go forth and live his life and truly, truly know him in our lives, not as an idea, not as a way of living, but as a person. He wants his life to make a difference, a huge difference in our lives. So the answer to that question, I think, is found in where the Samaritan woman was before she met Jesus and where she was after she met him. And of course, I don't mean a physical place. I'm talking about a spiritual place. Get this. She already had five husbands. I guess that was consecutively. And some of you wives would say one is good enough. Why would she want more than one? But it was consecutively. And the one that she was currently with, the person she was currently with, was not her husband. So she kind of gave up after the fifth and said, the heck with it, I'm going to live with someone. Which we hear a lot about that in our culture today. And on top of that, she was ostracized, rejected by those in her own community, in her own town. I think we can safely say this woman had some big relational problems. Yet, despite all of that, where did she go after meeting Jesus? Did she go off by herself somewhere? No, she went right back to that very community that rejected her And she went back with enthusiasm and joy and generosity in her heart, wanting to share with them what she had just found. This was real change, real conversion. And it happened in that area of her life that was the most important, but ironically the most dysfunctional to her, the area of her relationships. Our relationships, I'm sure, aren't that dysfunctional or even close to it. But all of us still have a need and a thirst for that life-giving water that Jesus offered this woman today. It is the water of life-giving generosity, compassion, understanding, kindness, encouragement, and care. It is the water that the very life of God Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that community of life-giving love that He offers us every day and in every moment. We start taking the Lord seriously and really drinking of this water when we begin to commit ourselves to truly learning to love one another as He has loved us. A one-on-one relationship with Him is great and it's critically important, but it's always the starting point of this spiritual journey, a journey that takes us into the heart of Jesus and into His mission, in His mission into this world, and that is to gather everyone into that life-giving communion that is God the Father. Now, for those of us who are married, this is where it all begins, in the sacrament of marriage, and from there, within the family. Husbands and wives are called to be the person of Christ to each other. We are to accept and forgive and encourage each other as Jesus Christ Himself does. It's an awesome responsibility. Awesome responsibility, yet a most fruitful one, the most fruitful one. And I believe that when I am called from this world eventually, the first thing Christ will ask me is, did you introduce me to Mary? Does she know who I am and how much I love her because of how you loved her? This is that spring of life-giving water within the family that continually welling up and nourishing the life of every member of that family, quenching their thirst for that love that is life-giving and eternal, a thirst that we always have, thank God, and He always wants to satisfy, and that begins again in the family. None of us is born as we are intended to be. That's pretty obvious. That's why we are born into a family, so that we can become the person that God intends us to be. Starts there. For those of you who are single and who are married and have lost your spouse or are divorced, you carry within you today something very, very beautiful. It is the experience of being in family, and with that, the experience of drinking from that life-giving water. May not have been perfect. Chances are it wasn't. But you still have the responsibility of building upon that and sharing that with others, like the woman at the well did. And the Lord, the very source of that water, is always with you, leading you and encouraging you and calling you wherever you are at to journey with Him as He goes out into this world offering His life-giving water to anyone who will stop and ask for it from Him. We all thirst for this, and because of that, we are all on our own journey of conversion. our own journey of listening to the Lord and receiving from Him that life-giving water. This is the journey of Lent, the journey that we are in. But it is also the journey of our lifetimes. May that journey draw all of us closer to Christ and truly bring about the change that both we and the Lord desire in our lives.